Merry Christmas, everyone. This has been great. I haven't been to any of the rehearsals, so it's my first time getting to see everything that's getting done. And can we just give a hand for the musicians, the kids, actors? Wonderful job. That's awesome. Those are probably some of the cutest shepherds and angels and star I've seen on video. Super cute. Wonderful, wonderful time. Well, I'm just going to share just for a couple moments tonight as we're closing up our service in a little bit. My name is Jim. I serve as one of the pastors here at New Hope Community Church. And I wanted to talk a little bit about joy and experiencing, and specifically experiencing the joy of Christmas throughout the year. What might that look like? As I was thinking about joy, I was thinking about where to find joy. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the holidays, you get a little tired. So as I was driving around, I was ordering something that hopefully would give me some more energy. And I was going through Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm like, where to find joy? I was like, okay, I'm thinking about joy. Someone's got to give me a hint. And then I saw it. It said, fill the holidays with joy. You got a couple different coffee options and two donuts. I'm like, bam, I have found joy. Funny thing about this kind of joy is about in 7 days, I'm going to go on an anti-joy and try to burn these calories off. So the donuts, they stick around a little bit longer, but hopefully not in 2017. We know that this kind of joy is a temporal. It's exciting, it's fun, but it's short-lived. It's a coffee or a sugar rush. But we want to talk about joy that lasts, joy that goes on and has true depth to it. There's two verses I just want to share from the Christmas narrative that we just sung about, what the angels are singing about. It's these two verses. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" What an incredible birth announcement. I don't know if, I know social media wasn't quite around 2,000 years ago, but normally you get like the weight and the height and the measurements going. But if Jesus had Instagram or at least Mary, you would be thinking, wow, look at these titles that are being put on this child. Savior, Christ, and Lord. What powerful, powerful words. A Savior, one who would be a deliverer for all of humankind. Christ, this is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. The Hebrews and Israelites have been waiting in hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And here is the Christ, child, and Lord, the Master. I'm going to look at those just a little bit more in a moment. Oftentimes in life, we can try to find joy. Maybe it's not just in donuts and coffee, but really, God, what's the purpose of my life? Where can I find true fulfillment, joy that can last? Sometimes we try to find them in relationships or goals or pursuits. Sometimes they're in things. Oftentimes we'll see there's always a push, especially in our culture, to try to get more things. And that's not necessarily wrong, but if that's the end goal to get joy, it can kind of just leave you hanging. Being like, man, I got what I needed, or I got maybe that paycheck increase, hopefully a couple more zeros before the decimal point, and you're thinking, man, does it last though? It seems to be kind of like a fleeting pursuit. 2 years ago, I was invited to be part of something called an alpha group. It's a gathering of people just hanging out, building friendships, sharing food, asking big questions. What's the purpose of life? What's the big goal? And I remember this quote from Jim Carrey, a comedian many of us know in Hollywood, has a lot of success. But he said this when it came to happiness. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. That the pursuit that oftentimes is either subconsciously or consciously we're desiring and wanting, and the media is out there. It's like, if we just have this, we'll arrive." Jim Carrey's like, "I wish everyone could experience what the arriving point looks like and realize when you got there, this still wasn't it." Oftentimes, there's a shift in our culture right now, which you'll see in the top 50 New York Times bestsellers. And I was just watching a documentary on Netflix this week. Well, if it's not in all the things, then maybe it's about getting rid of things. Maybe if we go to a minimalistic kind of swing, we'll start losing things, having a little bit more purpose and meaning. And maybe there we'll find joy and fulfillment. And the principles in either of these aren't necessarily bad, but they're only temporal solutions trying to fix a craving for internal longing. They will always come up short. I was talking to my friend Matthew, whose first time he ever came to New Hope Community Church was 365 days ago. He came to our Christmas Eve service, and he was here for the first time. One of his coworkers was like, hey, you should come. And maybe for some tonight, this is your first time. We're really glad that you're here tonight. But he came, and I guess he didn't think we're that weird or that scary or he could tolerate it, but he kept coming back to church, and he kept wanting to know, who's this Jesus? Who's this God that loves me and creates me? And he got plugged into these alpha groups, started to have space just to hear about some of the life questions and being able to dialogue that in a safe and just respectful environment. As Matthew was in this alpha group, he heard more about who the person of Jesus Christ was, how God loved humanity in its broken state, that there's a broken relationship, and he learned how Jesus had come as a little baby, but to grow up to be a man, to die on the cross for his sins, and because of that, be able to restore relationship with God through what Jesus has done. And as Matthew was learning about that, he said, you know, I want to know this Jesus, who's Savior, who is the hope, the Christ. I want to make him my master, my Lord. And he gave his life to Jesus. And it's just been really neat to see how Matthew has been growing. He's gone through one alpha group, another alpha group. He's actually going to be going through a third one as a table host, Lord willing. But great guy, has a really funny sense of humor. I seem to never win on one-ups with him, but love Matthew. But it's really neat to see that the difference Jesus has been making in his life. And just the joy, that's not a fleeting joy. It's not a fleet of trying to pursue some type of material or something that will leave, but a true longing satisfied, not in joy itself, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything we pursue, the Bible says, apart from Christ, will just leave us empty. It will have temporary fulfillment, but won't fill that void that maybe so many of us can feel. I remember growing up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and my parents are visiting, they're up here, they live in New Hampshire now, but my dad was really big into fish tanks, and me and my twin brother, we had a fish tank in our room. I remember being like probably 5 or 6, and my dad's like, be careful with the fish tank, and I'm like, yada, 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 something about the glass. Anyways, I was swinging around a little slingshot with like a Lego in it, because that's like the best thing to do indoors in a confined area. So just swinging that around, let that thing whip. It doesn't really matter where you let it go, just let it go, as long as you don't hit your brother, hopefully. But it hit the glass like dead center on the fish tank, and I remember I cracked it. I was like, oh, man, it's like, I'm going to get in trouble. But I was smart, so I'm like, I'm just going to cover this up with stickers. So I started covering up the crack with stickers, and I just put more of my favorite stickers. I don't know if anyone was into this, but I was into sticker books. I don't even know why that was a thing, but you take stickers, and you go like this, and you trade it with other people's stickers, and eventually stickers fall off your books. But great money market, whoever made that idea. So I was putting stickers on, and next day, the glass would grow kind of like a spider web. I'm like, oh, no. But once again, genius idea, just more stickers. So I was covering it up. I'm like, I know my dad's swift, but he won't notice the small pool and the rug, and he won't notice that the water's dropping. Obviously, all of us know fish drink water. I watch Finding Dory. I know this. So it's just obviously they're thirsty. But my dad, he's swift. He caught on to what's going on. But I was trying to fix, as like a 5 or 6-year-old, a problem with a temporary solution. I was trying to fix broken glass with stickers. I didn't have the resources, and I didn't have the ability. But guess what? When I went to my dad, he had the resources and the ability to be able to fix the fish tank. It needed a permanent fix, not just some temporary band-aids. I feel like a lot of times our lives can kind of be like that glass fish tank, that there's something inside of us that's broken, and we could fill it with temporary solutions. We can try to go from one thing to the next thing. Maybe it's trying to get too many things. Maybe it's trying to get rid of a lot of things. Maybe it's the relationships, but it's just never fixing that void, that brokenness. Well, the Bible makes it clear with Jesus that we have a Heavenly Father in heaven who has the resources and the abilities to make all things new. Hence why when the birth announcement came, hey, there's great news that will cause great joy for all people. There's a Savior that has just hit the planet. There is one who can literally take the sins of all humanity upon himself, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. A Savior only makes sense if there's a need to be saved from something. I grew up and I love going to the ocean, either in Connecticut or New Hampshire. And if you're ever out in the ocean and if you can't get back to the shore because of a riptide, you want to swim along the shore and try to get back. And you probably can do that on your own strength. But if you're in the middle of the ocean and there's no shore and you're weak and you're finding yourself in a desperate place, you need a savior. You need a National Coast Guard. You need a helicopter. You need a boat. You need a life vest. You need something. And the Bible makes it clear that none of us got our game all together so well that we can just make it to heaven on our own. Jesus is the prime example of God's love, but also realization, we need a savior. You and I need a savior. We cannot get ourselves out of this situation. Maybe you're here tonight feeling like, yeah, maybe I'm feeling like kind of drowning through life. I need something. I don't know where, but I need help. The answer is Jesus. He has come as the savior. We celebrate what he's did 2,000 plus years ago, but he's still in the saving business. He loves his children to come back home. I wanted to just wrap up with this verse before I close in a prayer in a moment. It's Romans 15:13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing." God wants to fill us, you and me, with his joy and peace. I don't know about you, but I want to overflow with more of God's joy. I want to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it would guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's available today because Jesus died on the cross, but he was resurrected 3 days later, and these promises are still true. There's this one piece in there, though, that says, with all joy and peace and believing, it takes belief, it takes faith that there is a God who loves you, who created you on purpose and with a purpose and wants you to know the joy of that intimacy with him. But it comes with believing and in faith. It says, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit dwelling in those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. So maybe you're here tonight and you're trying to think, I want to learn more about who Jesus is. I want to find out more about this God who says he's created me and loves me and knows my brokenness. And kind of like I was doing with the fish tank with my dad. My dad knew what's going on. I thought I could play it cool. God knows what's going on in our life, even when we try to fake it. God knows the real us, the broken us, and he has tremendous love for you and for me. So after this service, if you're here and you'd like to talk more, I'd love to talk with you more about what it looks like to know Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and like Matthew, whose first time here was a year ago, 365 days ago, he's like, you know what? I want to go a little bit deeper. I want to learn some more information. I want to have some conversations about some big questions and about the person of Jesus. I would encourage you, try out an alpha group. You literally can just go to one, say, this is kind of weird, I don't like it, and leave. That was the invite I got. Just try it once. I'm like, all right, I'll try it once. There's food, and I can bail after that. I ended up staying because I really, really enjoyed it. But I encourage you to check it out. In Christ, in Jesus, we have the ability given to us through God to experience the joy of Christmas all year long because it's not dependent on us. It's completely dependent on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift, literally the greatest gift. We didn't work for it. We didn't somehow gain enough money to earn it. God, you gave it to us generously out of your heart, the gift of your son, salvation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for everyone here, God, that you would bless and just pour out, God, your love, your hope, your joy, and peace, all the things that we find in Jesus. God, we just say thank you so much. In the wonderful name of Jesus.